Hello, our viewers, listeners, we are back with another exciting episode of Parenting, Digital Parenting with Evelyn Kasina. And I promised I will be bringing exciting guests to you people. And today we have an amazing dad, somebody who I have spent at least a month or so coaching in a parenting class. And I wanted to just be able to see how I can bring him to share his experience as a dad and also encourage other fathers out there who hesitate to get into parenting programs. Our guest today is Raymond Kaptich, and he is an entrepreneur in a very innovative space. He will talk to us about it. I know he does a lot of Bitcoin. He's a father of three. He has more girls in his house than boys. So I'm very excited to also hear some of the things that go on in his house because of gender disparities. And one of the things that I want us to just focus on, and especially in this podcast, is more of encouraging the male parents to take a very active role in parenting these digital natives. There's a question that my son posed to me the other day and asked, "Mom, why are there more men in prison than women?" And I hope in this conversation we will get to hear some of the answers, because I know statistically we have more men in prison than we do have women, because men lack father figures. And that is something that we really, really need to start changing our perspectives and our mindsets and our actions into being more present in the lives of our children. Welcome to this podcast. You're here because parenting and family is a core center to who you are. And I hope within the sessions, you're going to be able to learn and get skills and tools that you can apply immediately or in the near future in your parenting. So Raymond, karibu sana.
Oh, thank you so much, Evelyn. I'm super excited to be in your podcast today.
I'm also excited because one of the things that I really struggle with is to get male guests. So I'm so happy and thankful to you for just agreeing first and foremost to be here. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, one of top of the mind, first introduce yourself to us and tell us what motivated you to take up a parenting class.
Thank you so much, Evelyn. As you have mentioned, my name is Raymond Kaptich, husband to Caro and father to three. Our firstborn son is turning 15 next month. And then we have a 12-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old as well. My background, really an entrepreneur at heart, trained as an engineer, but in entrepreneurship for well over the last 21 years now. And what motivated me to take up parenting class, Evelyn, is, you know, just looking at, you know, how the world has changed from the days when we were brought up to today. Of course, a lot of things have changed. Right now, there is so much, you know, tech or digital things, you know, with our kids, which we didn't really have. And of course, I saw a bit of struggle, especially with our firstborn son with tech, and I decided this is something that we get to get our hands on, and that's why God led us to your class, Evelyn. And we are so grateful what we have learned so far. And hopefully, a lot of parents out there, especially dads, you know, will also take it up. Yeah, so that's my response to that, Evelyn.
Okay, so when you say you saw a bit of struggle with your son, why didn't you just think he's the one who needed help? Why did you feel that you also needed to be equipped as a parent to show him or pave the path for him? What was the defining moment for you when you thought, okay, fine, he also needs help, but why do I also need help?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, growing up, we didn't have technology around us, you know, in our days. So obviously, you know, sometimes also personally, I felt that I need to manage technology better. So at a personal level, I did not feel so equipped, you know, to be an authority in, you know, teaching the right way, because I also needed, you know, learnings of my own. The best thing obviously is, you know, when I saw your class that, you know, you also teach parents and at the same time you teach kids, that was like, you know, answered prayer. because, you know, then all of us could learn, not just, you know, me teaching what I know, But you know, learning as well as, you know, getting our kids to learn.
Okay, so what was your main reason of recruiting your wife? Because I know you came to class with your wife, and I know that it has been something that I have seen personally, that you enjoy the class together because you tap into each other's strength. How has been the experience being in a parenting class together with your spouse?
Oh, it's been really amazing because, you know, obviously for something to be effective within the family, you need to work out as a team. So, you know, me alone taking the class and, you know, not involving my wife, I think would have been counterproductive. So I was so happy that, you know, my wife Carol was willing to also be part of the class, so that collectively we could, you know, be a better family as far as tech is concerned, because we have obviously our little girl at 4, and many a times when I'm out, of course, Carol would spend more time with the kids than I would. So I think her being in the class was even more important than me, you know.
That's amazing. So you do have a teenager in your house, you have a pre-teenager, and then you have what do we call the age between 4 and, you know, 0 and 5, the child, the, you know, not really toddler, but, you know, the young child. So you have different people with different needs, and their technology needs are also very different. Having taken the class, what has your experience been? What have you experienced, especially just looking at your 3 children, looking at their different needs, looking at the technology in your house and realizing, oh my goodness, certain things really need to change during this session. How has your experience been as a dad?
Thank you so much, Evelyn. My experience has been really, the right word would be life-changing, because of the different age sets within our family. Learning that every child obviously has, you know, different needs depending on their age set. They interact differently, you know, online and social media. And even the use of tech obviously varies with age. So my experience has been humbling, to say the least, Evelyn, because we've learned so much, you know, that we didn't know, you know. the youngsters are digital residents and we are not. And of course, empowering them to use technology as opposed to technology using them. For me, that has been like the most amazing experience. You know, what we learned from your class, you know, creating a tech-free zone, and seeing our kids, you know, taking the mantle as far as that is concerned. And, you know, occasionally, you know, I'm doing something and, you know, my daughter would be quick to say, "Dad, you know, remember, tech-free zone." So quickly, you know, rush the phone to the basket and all that. So it's been a fun experience. It's been a very good learning experience. But for me, what I appreciate the most is that it is benefiting them even more than us. Because obviously they'll be around technology for much longer. And, you know, if as a parent you don't manage that, then obviously it can be a challenge in the future. If your kids cannot learn to manage technology without supervision. For me, that was the most important thing, because before the class, Evelyn, you know, when you wake up late and you come down and you find your kids on TV, for me as a parent, that was completely, you know, I did not like. Every time I find that, I would start you know, questioning why the TV is on, you know, this early in the morning. And of course, internally, I really desire to wake up and see them reading books and, you know, doing things other than just, you know, being addicted to technology.
Wow. And I know the progress you've already seen at home for you. That's why you're saying it's humbling and it's life changing, because you want to shift the responsibility to the child to be able to manage themselves. And I appreciate actually the kind of efforts that you have put, because I know the children are going through a class, but also what you're implementing at home is really, really working. So congratulations to you and Carol from me already. So tell us, in terms of the kind of exercises that we did you find any exercise that was challenging or rather you found as you were doing that exercise, you learned so many things that you didn't know about yourself?
I mean, Evelyn, thank you so much again. So the exercises, for me, I don't find them challenging. I mean, they are necessary, and they are designed, obviously, to bring out the best, you know, in us as a family. I was, you know, we were so glad for the, it's called what, Roses and Thorns, you know, that exercise.
Yes.
That was like, for me, the best of it. Because now you get to hear from your, you know, from your core, you know, from your loved ones, what it is that, you know, you need to personally improve. You know, what have you done so far? So to hear that from your son, from your daughter, from, you know, your spouse, in a safe environment where, you know, you are culturing communication, you know, open conversations. For me, it is really that for me was the highlight. And of course, to be able now to do it regularly, because, you know, as a person, as a parent, you know, you are improving, you're getting straight from the heart feedback from your spouse and your kids. Is really something amazing. I really hope a lot of parents will go through that with their kids. And as you mentioned in your opening statement, that it is true indeed that a lot of the men are in jail as opposed to the number of ladies. And it's true, many of those cases, Evelyn, is because of lack of a father figure when kids were growing up, and in the end they, you know, they got parented by the world, and it's not very good out there.
Absolutely, it is actually not very good. And I think with the introduction of the internet for our children, it seems that they have a lot of information on their fingertips, because we walk around with our phones literally everywhere, and they have gadgets. Which means, as a parent, if you're not available for your children, somebody else somewhere who's curating content that they might be interested in will certainly parent, or, you know, unparent what you have been doing at home, because there's also a lot of undoing that can be done over the internet. So I do understand and I believe the role of being an active parent. And with this, I would want you to just tell us what your encouragement to dads out there would be, because I have spoken to a few who have desires, you know, the way you said you would want to come downstairs and then find your children either reading a book or so. There are dads who have a desire to just connect with their children, but they don't know how to start it. They don't know how to say that they need help. Is there something about men that makes them feel challenged asking for help, or do they see it as a sign of weakness? Maybe you can tell us.
Wow, I guess it's different for most dads, I would say. But speaking generally, Evelyn, if you look at how we were brought up as boys, depending on which community everyone came from, is that, you know, masculinity, we were taught to toughen up, you know, don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
Just man up and, you know, face life as a man. And, you know, well, it may have worked in the days of our dads and grandfathers, you know, because of, you know, the challenges of their days. But I think the manning up in our present generation is being able to be open, to communicate, and, you know, to speak out issues as opposed to keeping them within.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, going out there and venting, you know, in the wrong ways. So for me, I believe the biggest courage that I would ask all the men who are listening is, you know, to be able to speak out, and to be humble enough to come and learn, you know, because, you know, every day is a learning process. So parenting digitally is something that our generation needs to learn, because we were never brought up with technology, let's face it. And, you know, the internet is growing in huge leaps on a daily basis. The impact it has in all aspects is really astronomical. But for me, if you don't curate content for our kids, then it's going to be a very nasty ending for most of our kids, because you can imagine as an adult, as a parent, you know, struggling with tech. And then now you can imagine for kids,
and
without
they,
the right guidance, you know, it can be really, really nasty out there, because we know how media, how internet can really program our children to the wrong things, through gaming, you know, what you watch. So all this content out there ultimately has been designed by their creators to achieve many a times a commercial purpose, which is really harnessed through addiction. So one of my mentors, Evelyn, is called Mark Yanel. He says that it's called neuro-linguistic programming, that when you watch something 17 times, look at a simple advert. When you see an advert 17 times, you know, you are conditioned to buy it. So you can imagine, our kids, you know, without proper learning, of course, they will be conditioned to buy into so much, you know, without knowing. And it's a scary prospect when you look at how even songs, you name it, when you dissect how these adverts are created, they use all manner of aspects to make sure that, you know, you're hooked into them.
Mm-hmm.
And do what they want in a very, very subtle way, you know. I hope I'll not get into trouble, but when you look at something like the most popular soft drink out there, I think the name starts with a C.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, the last time I read, they spend 60% of their budget in advertising.
Uh-huh.
So for you to even have that drink on your dinner table and not think of the consequences, is because we've been programmed all our life. Think about it, Evelyn. When we woke up, that advert we saw, I think it's the most popular ad in the whole world. And we all know the side effects of it, but because of consistent advertising all through the years, people don't associate with it with negativity in terms of your health. It's been created in such a way that is now lifestyle, you know, to take on it on every occasion. But you know, the effects are just terrible.
Yeah, I agree with you, because it's either on your screen, on the road, it's everywhere, plastered or over the billboard, so you actually literally see it everywhere. And then they make this advertisement so catchy, and as you said, they hook you, because even the songs, when you hear your children singing along, you start singing along. When you go to the supermarket, it's the one thing that you really want to pick. I actually agree with you, because that is how content for kids is also curated. Because you can imagine at a time where, for instance, they're on holiday, because some of our children are on holiday, they wake up early in the morning and they get into this zombie mode. I call it zombie mode, because once they get hooked on the TV, they really can't do anything else, even literally pause and even have bathroom breaks or eating breaks. They just want to get hooked there. And it is a shuffle, repeat, repeat, repeat. Then imagine somebody is on holiday for like 2 months and they're constantly doing the same thing. They actually do get addicted. And it is important as a parent to realize that you need also to first and foremost show that you have a grip on your own technology, so that you're able to mirror that to your children. And that is really, really important. So I want to ask you a very, not really complicated question, but is there a difference you have noted in your home as you raise or parent your son as opposed to your daughter? I know the needs are different, obviously, because of gender and their personalities and their likes. But what has been distinctive in your parenting journey, looking at the kind of challenges that your son has in terms of tech, and especially your daughter who's 12?
Yeah, well, it's, of course, raising a boy, fortunately for us, our firstborn is our son, John Paul. And of course, seeing him grow up now and transition from, you know, being a preteen to a teenager. And then of course, for us culturally, I think last year it was a milestone when, you know, you move from being a boy to a young man, you know, through the cultural processes that, you know, we go through. You know, for us, it is circumcision, but having to do that, you know, in the modern world, here, you know, through hospital and all that, For me, the realization was really immense, in the sense that if we don't get it right, you know, with our firstborn son, obviously he has so much impact, you know, to our girls. You know, so for us it was so key and so important that, you know, we get our firstborn son to get it right. Because we have seen it in the family, whatever he buys into, the girls will buy into. So if we ensure that, you know, he has managed his tech, you know, he's leading the way as far as, you know, managing technology is concerned, then obviously the positive impacts will be seen even more to our daughters, because, you know, they listen more to him or follow what he does, you know, more than, you know, others, because, you know, that's the person they spend a lot of time with and they look up to, you know, right here at home.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, raising up a boy obviously has a lot of challenges, in the sense that, you know, the world is, you know, is not very kind, you know, to anyone.
You're being modest.
yeah, it's a challenging, and of course, you know, there are those tough questions. I mean, fortunately for me, Evelyn, I think I shared the other day, I attended one of these courses called Man Enough, specifically designed for men. And of course, this is when you really get to learn a lot about yourself and how to, you know, really become the best of you. And of course, my desire was when our son comes of age, you know, when he gets to 18 or is it 17, then I can also take him through that. But in the interim, you know, looking at your program, I was like, wow, this is really something. And I really, really encourage fathers out there to be decisive about this, to take the lead role in ensuring that their families are, you know, hubs of, you know, positive technology. And, you know, your course is just, for me, I was telling my wife, this is like, next time we have a couple who, in, you know, that are wedding, we will give them as a gift, you know, for them to attend this class as opposed to buying them glasses and stuff.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you. I mean, I think now you're making me blush. I wish you could see me blushing. That is so amazing. And thank you so much, even for that recommendation. I think there's something that you have said about firstborns leading. In the class that I teach the children, I always tell the firstborns especially that they are leaders. And there's this song we used to sing. I don't know if you remember it. Follow the leader, leader, leader. I think when we were young.
I remember.
Yes. We used to follow actually the person who is leading. And I use that, the same analogy to actually express to firstborns. That when they have certain disciplines, even when they don't know it, the younger children follow. So it is very, very important even for parents to just realize that there is something that the firstborns, if they rebel to, all your children will rebel to. If they buy into it, it will be so easy for the other children to actually go through that process. And it is commendable for you, because you have come to that realization early that you need to be able to make sure even your son, who is in the ecosystem of your other children, is helping in some way influence the siblings positively. And I hope, fathers, you have heard from one dad who sat through all the classes, and the time even when he was abroad, he made sure that because of technology, it enables us to connect from different places, he was able to sit in through classes. So there is really no excuse. I know some parents who are not maybe parenting from the same roof, but ideally, even for those parents, I do encourage them, because raising your child is still a common goal for both of you. It is very, very important to have such classes and sit through, you know, these parenting classes and listening together and seeing how you can pull in your different strengths, even if you're not parenting from the same environment. Because one of the things that I do say is that as a woman, I cannot raise a son to be a man, because everything I know about men is theory. And that goes also for men. Everything you know about women is theory. And unless your partner is non-existent in terms of death, that is where we also look for mentors to fill in the gap. Because ideally, again, there are certain things that you wouldn't know how to explain or how to talk to your children about, because either you don't share the views or you don't know how it happens because of the gender differences. So Raymond, we have a small game that we call Quick Fire in our podcast, where I just get to ask you random questions. Don't think so hard about it. Have fun, because maybe they would be funny. But so the first question, because I know you're in technology, between hard cash and Bitcoin, what is your preference?
Oh, Bitcoin.
Why?
Wow. Because of, for me, number one, Bitcoin is a hedge against inflation. I'll give a simple example, as I did for you, Evelyn. 10 years ago, majority of us did not know anything about Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. Now, and 10 years ago, most of us parents, I believe, we had access to $100, which, you know, you gift to your, you know, relative, or, you know, this is $100 is not something you would, you know, stress about if you lose it. So, Evelyn, if all of us listening today had spent $100 10 years ago to buy Bitcoin, and just, you know, even just for speculation purposes, do you want to know how much you'll be worth today, Evelyn?
You stress me, but please go ahead.
Yeah, if we had each spent $100 10 years ago to buy Bitcoin, we would be worth $5.2 million today.
Wow, this is 10 years ago.
10 years ago, correct.
But we are still dilly-dallying and not thinking about how we can get into this space.
Yeah, yeah, it's something just like, you know, you if you go to World Bank and IMF websites, they have predicted, Evelyn, that by the year 2032, which is, you know, barely 11 years to come, cash will be obsolete globally. So, you know, in that time, what will our children and grandchildren be using? Obviously, you know, a digital form of currency. And of course, Bitcoin is the front runner currently. It's been the front runner for the last 12 years. And I believe chances are in the next 10 years, in the next 20 years, it will still be the front runner. So yes, 10 years ago, we did not know about Bitcoin. We missed out on that advantage of value appreciation. But this is the second best time. Because 10 years to come, Evelyn, I don't know where the value will be. It could be $500,000 each. It could be $1 million each. I don't know the value. But 10 years from now, the regret will be astronomical for those who will not have, you know, embraced it as early as now.
Actually, that is very true. And I do not want you to meet me 10 years from now and ask me, what were you waiting for that day we were having this podcast and that meeting and you did not start investing? So, dear parent, even for your own children, I know we are teaching them financial management and planning and just introducing them to money. I think this is one of the things that I do believe, even for them, because they will be the ones who are interacting with these cryptos in their future. We need to start as early as 2021. Okay, so between cars, hikes, and indoors, what would be your first preference?
For me, hikes.
Tell us why.
For me, I think I'm a nature person. I was brought up and raised up in a beautiful part of Kenya called Kericho, where, you know, we have a lot of fresh air, high altitude. So for me, taking a jog in the tea farms, or, you know, just going out there, for me is more valuable than, you know, sitting on the couch, you know, watching something. For me, I would not even think twice about that, Evelyn. For me, it's outdoors is more valuable to me than indoors.
So outdoors and hiking in specific. So that's really, really interesting, because for me, I think I would love to be outside. I get stressed being outside a lot. But for my stress, when I'm feeling agitated or stressed, I love driving. And I think that makes me feel really good about myself, because I keep asking myself, can I really do a Formula One with the speed that I'm going? I'm like, probably not. But the feeling is still really, really good. Okay, so
driving, if I could add, driving in the countryside, for me, it's fun, but not in the city.
Yeah, because the city is so congested and the roads are bad. I agree with you. Yes, there's something that needs to be done about the roads in Nairobi for sure. So what is your favorite food, Raymond?
Wow, I think I'm still a traditional person. For me, if I am to choose, I would go for brown ugali, of course. And for me, the traditional foodstuffs, you know, I prefer the natural organic foods as opposed to the, you know, refined commercial things that, you know, we get in modern families today.
Interesting. I love eating ndomas, and I can eat ndomas every single day, every meal. And people don't understand that. But I'm like, if you get good ndoma, it is the best thing that you could ever do for yourself. So thank you so much, Raymond, for being a guest in our podcast. Just let us know what your parting shots would be and what encourages you and keeps you going.
So my parting shot, especially to parents out there, Evelyn, I remember last month when I was abroad, I think I shared my experience. I go down for breakfast, and then, you know, there is this parent from, you know, Europe, parents and their kids. So I wish I could have taken a photo, but of course, you know, without their consent, I could not have. So the father, the wife and their three kids, they were all on the dining table, and very, very painfully, Glean, every child had a gadget in front of them, ostensibly to make them eat, which was the saddest sight for me, you know, especially knowing what we've gone through with their parenting. And I know there are many parents out there that are using technology in a similar manner to, you know, get their kids to finish eating or to do a task. And even, you know, their house helpers do the same in your absence. So for me, that is just very brutal on the kids because they're getting them addicted to technology at, you know, very, very toddler age. And for me, that is not right, obviously. And it is something that, as a parent, you know, if that is the norm in your space, that is obviously something that you need to prioritize and replace that. So my parting shot to every parent out there, especially the men, is that, you know, the responsibility really lies upon you. Make a wise choice for your family. Decide to be bold and take steps. And for me, I have sent the link for your class starting this Saturday to so many parents out there, because I believe almost all of them in our age set require the kind of training that you give. It is really priceless, and I encourage every parent out there who's listening to take a step and just learn and change the future for their kids.
Okay, so tell us finally, what keeps you motivated? What keeps you happy?
What keeps me motivated and happy, of course, is to have positive impact, not just to our kids, you know, but to the society at large. I believe, Evelyn, that each of us, we are on this earth with a specific purpose. There is something that, you know, God gifted you life with, so that you can benefit others. For me, I was telling Caro, the day I learned cryptocurrencies, the day I connected with cryptos, I remember telling Caro, you know, if you remember that song or that movie by Michael Jackson, the late Michael Jackson, Evelyn, This Is It. So for me, I was telling Caro, you know, for me, cryptos, this is it. This is why I'm in this world, to think about it, to empower people about it, so that, you know, we can impact a lot of families positively. Because I remember one person commenting that if there are two things that really are on the top of the agenda for most families is health and finances. And if we could take care of that, obviously, most of the major issues across the world will be handled. So for me, cryptocurrencies, they bring positive impact as far as finances are concerned, if only people could understand. So for me, that's what keeps me going. That is what gets me to wake up, you know, and go out there and change and teach on a daily basis, Evelyn, so that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we'll have so many families who will not be struggling financially because they knew about cryptocurrencies early in the days. And the numbers for Africa is still really depressing. Only less than 1% of Africans have a Bitcoin wallet.
Wow.
You think about it mentally, if you go through your phone book, how many of those contacts have installed a Bitcoin wallet? You'd be very lucky to get to number 5 or 10. So that shows you that there is still so much work to be done, even just from the education perspective. For people to understand so that they can embrace it. So for me, that's what keeps me going every single day. And of course, you know, being able to, as a man, as you know, as a father, being able to provide for your kids and enjoy the best of life without having to stress about finances, for me, it's really valuable.
I agree with you when you say top of the list for people is health and actually finances, because that is one of, well, those are some of the things that bring a lot of disputes in very many homes. So once you get those things right, people get to enjoy, and also you start acknowledging and taking in life, because those big challenges have already been sorted or taken care of, so to speak. So I would like to just thank you all for taking your time to listen to us today. We hope that somehow, some way in this conversation, you have been motivated, you have been inspired, and you have decided to take a more proactive role into parenting. Be present. I keep saying, if you want to be in your children's memories in the future, you have to be part of their present day. And that means being part of what they are doing, loving what they do, interacting with them, and being intentional and being proactive. Remember to subscribe to our channel. Remember to share this with your friends and your families, and keep the conversations going even on our social media platforms. And until next week, take care of yourself and happy parenting.
Thank you.